Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself, discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now. Well, welcome, listeners, to another episode of Life in Full Expression. I'm your host, Beth Wolf, and I'm excited to be here with you as we are coming down into the just bringing 2022 into a landing in the month of December. I always tend to look at what would it take to up-level myself, expand my capacities and capabilities, and one of them is on productivity. I used to think that just being really busy was cool and productive, yet I didn't always get stuff done the way I wanted to. So this is a follow-up episode that I want to do on what does productivity really look like in a life in full expression. Remember, we've got seven dimensions. We've got physical, occupational, spiritual, social, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, and environmental. So what does it look like for us to be productive in those dimensions and giving them attention and giving them nurturing? And so a quick reminder of an episode that I did a couple weeks ago on knowing the biggest productivity secrets. I'm going to remind us of three of them. And the top three is really that focus on attention management, not time management. Because, you know, in the three-dimensional structure of our humanity, we've got 365 days, we got 24 hours in a day, and so it's more important that we are learning where to focus our attention was the number one tip. Number two tip that I gave a couple weeks ago was be calm under pressure and emotionally self-aware. This is really going to serve not only you and the productivity of the project you're in, but also the people that you're collaborating with, whether it's in one of those dimensions or several of them. And then one thing that I have heard so often from very highly successful people, tip number three, is knowing how to say no. Are you sometimes, I will dabble in saying yes to things that, you know, I'm putting too much on my plate. It creates an overwhelm. I know I could deliver, yet it doesn't really add to the harmony of my seven dimensions of life and full expression. I've taken on too much, too soon, too fast. And when I come from my 40 years of athletic medicine and sports medicine and occupational medicine, when we do too much, too soon, we typically injure ourselves. So knowing how to say no is a real key element. So this episode, I want to shift gears and turn our attention to productivity itself. And we've already described productivity as the ability to achieve our most important goals as effectively and efficiently as possible. And we've also established from the previous episode that it's not about being the busiest person around or checking off the most tasks off your to-do list. I'm actually going to introduce to you some other types of lists other than a to-do list. So that's all well and good, but really, what does productivity look like? What does it look like for us to actually practice it day in and day out? And in this episode, I'm going to take some tips from a really cool book written by Graham Alcott. It's actually called The Productivity Ninja. And look for his updated version of that book on really what productivity consists of. Is we're going to go over today about learning the different signs of a productive person and an unproductive person. I'm actually going to read you a little bit of a scenario that I talked about in a couple episodes ago. Also going to let you know about three types of the art of your attention management. Yeah, there's an art to that. And uncovering the times when you display each type. We're also going to look at four essential practices to protect and really be proactive in your attention times. And then I want to give you four habits today, how to win at productivity. So you're going to walk away from this episode with some really key elements. And then finally, a little assessment at the end on how to identify areas you could work on to boost your productivity. And I'm going to put a worksheet up in this episode 14 on some questions that you can go through to really look at how could you boost that productivity. So I want to start off with a quote by Mr. Thomas Edison. He said that being busy does not always mean real work. The object of all work is production or accomplishment, and to either of these ends, there must be a forethought, a system, planning, intelligence, and honest purpose, as well as perspiration. And seeming to do is not doing. And that's a quote by Thomas Edison. So let's dive into this. A productive person versus an unproductive person. And I found some questions from the Productivity Ninja. See if you can relate to any of these, because I certainly could. Have you ever thought you should be better at managing your time? Absolutely. Or have you spent ages wondering how some people seem to be able to get so much more done than you? Or how can you learn to cope with the endlessly growing volume of emails and other things that need to be done? And do you wonder why there just never seems to be enough hours in the day? Can you guys relate to some of those? I know I can. I'm going to show you a little bit on zeroing in your email box. It's going to be cool. So I mentioned in an episode on November 21st about the contrast between two different women, Sue and Gwen. So we really described their different approaches in that episode to how they went about writing reports in their particular job, in which Sue struggles to get work done during regular office hours, and Gwen arrives in the office before everyone else so she can get things done without distraction. But now I want to read to you. Now it takes a look at more of a daily routine. So let's kind of take a picture into Sue and Gwen's life. And first we're going to look at when Sue's alarm goes off at 7:30 a.m. She races out of bed, gets dressed, ready for work in a rush, and she struggles to get out of the house on time and usually picks up coffee and a bagel on her way to work. She barely arrives on time and is already stressed out from her morning. The first part of the morning basically is spent catching up on emails, checking in the people who report to her. She has a quarterly report to write, but struggles to work on it during the day. It seems like every time she writes a few sentences, she gets interrupted by one of her direct reports, knocking on the door, or sending an instant message, or by the endless emails that are just flooding into her inbox. And then there are those meetings that disrupt her day. So by the end of the day, Sue has made very little progress in her report and realizes she will have to spend time on it after work. Is this sounding familiar, perhaps? Maybe it is. So Sue returns home, has leftovers for dinner, and gets to work on the report. She resents having to work after she gets home, especially since it takes away time she wants to spend with her partner and friends, and really prevents her from being able to relax after work. A little bit creeping into having a life in full expression in other dimensions. She's putting in a lot of work into the occupational dimension. Well, Sue wonders how other people in the office can get anything done with all the distractions, and she wishes she knew their secrets. And I'm going to share some secrets with you today. So in contrast, there's another coworker in her office, and Gwen wakes up about 6 a.m., starts her day with about 10 minutes meditation, and then takes a 30-minute run. She showers and gets ready for work and then has time to get a nutritious breakfast and sip her coffee leisurely heading to the office. If she knows she has a big project to work on, like a quarterly report, Gwen gets up an hour earlier and she can complete her morning routine before arriving at the office at 7 a.m. Before anyone gets there, she gives her a chance to really get in a good hour. And here's a key element of uninterrupted work during the time when she's most energized and alert. Only when she's completed her hour of writing does she open her emails and messages. And Gwen also has set hours when her direct reports are free to knock on the door. Like, people can come into her office. She set up those parameters. But they know that between 9 and 11 is when she focuses on important projects and not to interrupt her unless an emergency comes up. And she's also incredibly organized and is a master of tools. Like, she uses Asana, if you haven't heard of that. It's an organizational tool that really helps her manage her tasks. And although she's happy to help coworkers out if they would need help, she actually limits the number of additional projects she takes on so that they don't distract her from the most important tasks. And when the workday draws to a close, Gwen typically feels satisfied with what she's accomplished, and she is happy to put in a good day's work. Since she's so productive during the day, guess what? She's able to take the evening off, cook a healthy meal for her family, and spend time with her husband and kids. And after tucking her kids into bed, Gwen even has a little time left over to put herself into a good book and watch a show maybe with her husband and relax with a cup of tea before going off to bed. Overall, Gwen is very satisfied with her life, where she is highly efficient and successful at work, but also has the time to spend with her loved ones and to engage in activities she enjoys. Gwen is really living a life in full expression. And the great thing is that Gwen is not a superhero or a rare exception. She's a regular person who's learned how to be highly productive. And that's my intention today, is to help you be highly productive as well as sharpen up some of my skills. So in this episode, I'm really going to show you how to begin creating your own personal productivity system. So after this break, we're going to take a dive into what is called the art of attention. And so grab some water, grab some tea, grab some other people to join you in this episode. And I'll be right back after this break, and we'll come back with the art of attention.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
My Auntie, where you can find a special gift for that special person. Or perhaps that special person is you. Our collections include messages in sacred Sanskrit of love, fearlessness, divine energy, and strength, made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti is the place to find a soul message unique to you, designed for your life journey. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
Welcome back, you guys, to Life in Full Expression. I'm your host, Beth Wolf. And this next part of this episode, we're talking about the art of attention management. And we're doing this episode on productivity mastery. And one of my favorite quotes by Joseph Campbell is, "We must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us." And even though I'm going to introduce to you some systems and plans, I would ask that, what is the life that really is truly waiting for you? And that maybe it's by design and not by default. So some of the most productive people are true masters of managing their attention and their energy. That it is designed, and it's not, you're not so much in a life where you're responding, but that you are actually designing your day. And you might have some time, maybe, that you put aside for responding to people. For example, I don't open my emails the first part of the day. I'm a little bit like what I read of Gwen, where I will do some meditation and a walk or some kind of exercise. If not in the morning, I'm going to get it in later in the day. But I don't open my emails at the beginning of the day. It's not part of my job that I have to do, so that's a choice that I make. Well, really, in general, mastery productivity people, they know when their attention and energy levels are at a high, all-time high, and they actually structure their day accordingly. And I found an article, and I put it also for you to get that link off transformationradio.com, is that there's an article about our 6 must-reads on honing focus and managing your time. So you can see that link for some extra resources about attention management and focus management. So one of the most powerful weapons we really in the daily battle against stress and information overload is attention management. But that doesn't mean it's the easiest skill to master, especially in this day and age where there is so much pulling at us with emails and notifications from our phone. I was reading in Graham's book about how different it is how information comes at us today. You know, me growing up, there wasn't emails. It didn't exist. You would get letters, you would get phone calls. So information didn't come in such mass loads like it does. So you and I, it's super healthy for us to adopt some of these systems and principles to really protect ourselves from being overloaded and stressed out. So in many ways, the attention management is an art form, and one that you and I need to actually cultivate and develop over time to truly be a master. One of the things that I've listened to of Dave Metzler, he's all over Instagram and Facebook, is he has a system of how he takes in information and almost funnels them into buckets. And so that was one thing that I learned of him, of how he manages his attention. But all attention isn't created equal. So we really first need to take a step back and look at the different types of attention. And I'm going to introduce to you 3. It makes things a little bit more simple. So let's look at these 3 categories. So the first one I want to introduce to you is proactive attention. And how this is defined is, it refers to those times when you are totally alert, focused, absorbed in the task at hand, and when you feel ready to take on the most complicated tasks and make important decisions. So that's proactive attention. Next up is active attention, is when you're working hard, making fairly good progress, but are getting tired and more easily distracted. You can still come up with great ideas and accomplish a lot, but more likely the quality of your work isn't the best. And now the third attention is inactive attention. And this refers to the moments where you're pretty much drained of your mental energy and your struggle to accomplish complicated tasks that require a lot of thought. Your ability to get things done is really a lot more limited with this type of attention. So real quick, we've got proactive attention, active attention, and then inactive attention. So you're going to get to be able to ask yourself some questions. When are you most proactive with your attention? When part of the day might be an active attention? And then where are those times where it's just completely inactive attention? So when it comes to this attention management, it really is crucial for you and I to uncover the times when we display each type of these. And are we performing the most difficult tasks when our proactive attention is at a high? So much of really, do you spend time in proactive attention mode? It's probably only a couple hours each day. I was kind of surprised to read that. I was like, seriously? It's only a couple hours a day that I'm actually super proactive? Which is why it's crucial to understand these times. And I've learned from other mentors that if you're working on a really top priority project, to just shut everything out and you're only focused on that project at that time. And so you really want to use your proactive attention time. So here's a little exercise that I'm going to give you, and you can replay this and get this jotted down so you have it. So begin by taking out a piece of paper and jotting down what your average workday schedule looks like. And then two, be sure to include start and end times for each task you accomplish and any breaks you take, and what you do right before and right after work as well. And then number three, now look at each block of time and assess your attention level for each. When did you display proactive, active, and inactive attention? And then finally, note your best and worst times from an attention standpoint. And moving forward, be sure to schedule your most difficult and complex tasks during your proactive attention times. So that's a little skill that you could do. Maybe just do a time diary for 2 or 3 days. That might be plenty, or even 1 or 2, just to get some feedback on yourself. So to really fully capitalize on this proactive attention time, you and I get to need to recognize that these times are rare, and they're also extremely valuable, and for you to do whatever you can to protect and increase them. So I want to give you 4 essential practices that can help make the most of your high attention times. So this first practice is schedule your work around your attention levels. Now your mind might be saying right now, seriously, Beth, I can't do that. You don't understand my work. Now that could be part of it. And I would ask and introduce that if you could apply these 4 essentials to the best of your ability with what's available to you, that's a very high calibrating question for you to come from. So what could you do with these essential tips here? So as I said, schedule your attention levels. As mentioned above, you want to take on the most difficult tasks during the times of your proactive attention. The challenging but easier tasks for your active attention, and then the easiest, most basic tasks for basically the inactive attention. For example, here's some things that you could think about. You should work on maybe some heavy duty reports that you have to do during proactive attention, and then conduct internet research in your active attention phase, and then cleaning your spam out or your inbox during an inactive phase. Now, I've noticed sometimes that I will do the third one sometimes in the middle of my morning. I'm like, Beth, that's your most proactive attention. You're not utilizing that well. So just by me studying a little bit more and prepping this for you, I noticed that about myself. So number 2 essential is limit interruptions or distractions. And if you want to know more about distractions, I talked about that in the episode on November 21st. You want to do our best thinking. Proactive attention is required, but you also need to ensure that we can concentrate without getting sidetracked or distracted. Distractions can either be internal ones we create ourselves, such as checking on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or they can be going for another cup of coffee, or they can be external in type. Even a lot of us that are working at home, we might, you know, think that, oh, you know, I'll just do a quick clean or pick up here or do some kind of distracted thing at home. Also, you know, when your coworker pops in and asks you another question, or you're asked to attend some other meeting, or your phone rings in the middle of the workday. Limiting internal distractions requires self-awareness and the ability to return our attention to the task at hand when your mind wanders. I know sometimes I'll pick up my phone and start looking at something, and I'm like, I am right in the middle of my proactive attention. Put it down, put it away, put it over there, setting boundaries for myself. So, number three essential is uncover ways to actually boost your attention. If you're in a period of inactive attention, there's not a whole lot you can do to combat that, unfortunately. You could go, you know, do a quick meditation. I've learned some things from other mentors where you could do some cupping, you could do some breathing. You want to go do a cold pump plunge, that would really wake you up. But in general, you're at work, so there's some inactive attention. However, you can cultivate habits to help you increase or maintain your periods of active and proactive attention. And so here's a few of them, such as eating healthy, drinking more water. I pretty much always have a water bottle near me that basically has a lot of micronutrients in it. I put a lot of minerals in my water so that my cells work really well. Got some great electrolytes in there. Also, what can help us is doing regular physical activity and then giving ourselves good times to rest and recharge and getting enough sleep. So also, a healthy, balanced lifestyle benefits us in so many ways. It can really help us extend and improve those attention of proactive and active times. And then fourth essential, find extra pockets of attention. Believe it or not, there are opportunities for you and I to create extra pockets of attention during the day. I liked this suggestion. It said making phone calls while taking your daily walk and catching up on important reading while you're waiting at a particular office or something like that. And you can also reply to some quick emails while you're waiting for coffee to be made, or you think important decisions during, you know, your ride to work if you are on transit, and you can do that. So those are just some four essentials that you can incorporate. And just a quick repeat of those is you can schedule work around your attention levels. Number two, limit your interruptions and distractions. Three, you can uncover ways to boost your attention. And then four, find those extra pockets of basic attention. So after this short break, I want you to come back, and I'm going to show you how to win at productivity with four key habits that we're going to start. And I'm going to begin to show you how to create a system for yourself to be super productive that is healthy for you in your life in full expression. So come on back after this short break. This is Beth with Life in Full Expression.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit LifeStrategyMentor.com. That's LifeStrategyMentor.com.
Navigating a life of chronic pain and pain cycles can break you down and change your world. Searching for answers adds to the confusion unless you take charge and create something better. My name is Christine Vibrant, and I help motivated people turn their pain points into their power points. If you feel ready for the intensive, transformative journey of my Better Me Empowered Living program, contact me at christine@beingbetterme.com.
Tune in to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Welcome back, guys, to Productivity Mastery is what we're talking about today on Life in Full Expression, and I'm your host, Beth Wolf. And this part of the episode, I'm going to introduce to you four key habits that are going to not only help you, but they're helping me as well, is how we can win at productivity. And so really it comes down to crucial is that we are have some kind of system where we're gathering information, that it's into a structure, and that we're able to reflect and then able to actually act on it. So here's a little bit about those four things. Again, we're looking at a system of gathering, that it's in a structure, time to reflect it, and then put it into action. So gather. This really involves taking every stressor, creative idea, piece of paper, voicemail, email, notification, blah, 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 whatever you want to add on to that that may be in your world, and then storing them in some kind of structure system to return to them whenever the time is right. So to accomplish this, you and I actually need to have a way to capture the most important bits of information, such as ideas you have, important conversations, and takeaways from a meeting. And this can be done on a notepad you carry around with you. You know, one of the examples, I'll just go over here and grab real quick. I'm in a network group every week, and this is my notebook for that network group. All my notes are in here, what is said in the meeting, what I want to look for my team in the network. And so there's like a year's worth of meetings just in this notebook. So that's one idea that I've done on a regular basis. Another way would be an app. There are so many apps out there that you can use on your phone, or even just bookmarking a web page and returning to it later. So number one, we've got to have a way that we are actually gathering. So then number two habit would be a structure. And this is really important to really take the information and organize it so that you can assess which action you should take. So by creating an organized system, you can figure out what action to take and make informed decisions as easily as possible. Now, as a life, health, and business coach, in order to make really good informed decisions, it's important for you to know what's important to you. you know, what are your principles? What are your values in the dimensions of a life in full expression? That's actually going to make it easier and faster for you, even within the system, is if you know what is important to you. So even taking time to do that. And you can set up the system by utilizing three kinds of lists. I don't know if you remember, but recall at the beginning of this episode, I talked about we're going to introduce a little bit more than just a daily to list. So number one list that you can look at is a list of all projects you are working on. I don't know if you can see behind me, but even within my own, there are huge post-its behind me that I have big projects on. And so I can see them on a regular basis. And then another list is every action you can take on each of your current projects. And then finally, the other list is a daily to-do list. So again, those three different lists, basically a list of projects, a list of action for those projects, and then a daily to-do list. I also use, not only do I use an online calendar, but I also have a very large calendar that I can write in pencil. It serves me both ways to have that so I can see the big picture and then the daily picture. So number three is reflect. With this habit, you're going to utilize daily and weekly checklists to help you know where to focus your attention. There's the key element. Where do you focus your attention? Where do you identify areas that need improvement and boost your overall efficiency? And then this also helps you keep track and use your times of proactive and active attention as effectively as possible. So you can see maybe the day, the week, the month, or the quarter. What projects do I want to work on? What actions do I get to take to make those projects come alive? And so then you can begin to basically put it in your calendar. Now, these checklists are distinct from a to-do list, right? Because they are simply lists of consistent thinking or behaviors you engage in during your daily and weekly review sessions. So your daily checklist involves taking about 5 minutes at the beginning of the day to ensure that you're focusing your time and efforts on what you truly, you know, your most important tasks are. One of the habits that I love to do on a consistent basis is look at my calendar on the Sunday night as the week starts to go into full force for me. And just check out, okay, what's coming up? Writing down some things, what I want to focus on that week really helps me a lot. So a weekly checklist is really a method to ensure that you're truly mastering the gather, structure habits, and which is essential before you can reflect and act. Notice that you got to gather and you got to have a structure before you can reflect and put it into action. So the next essential habit is act. And this is when you take action and you channel your attention and energy to really tackle your work as efficiently and as productively as possible. And the previous three habits mentioned here are really necessary for you and I to master to prepare ourselves to take an effective action. And at this point, you have everything you need to move forward and build momentum and make accomplishing your work as seamless as possible so you can achieve incredible levels of productivity. And you already have a daily to-do list planned out. So now all you need to do is review your tasks for the day, decide on the order, and you'll do them and schedule each one according to your attention and energy levels. So isn't that cool to have an idea of what is my most proactive attention time? And I found that mine is pretty much in the mornings. I love to get up early. Maybe I wake up about 6. Most of the time I'm out of bed by 6:30-ish. And then diving into some journaling and reflection time before I head in to tackle those big, huge projects that I have on my agenda. So now that you got the four habits, I want to really introduce to you and help you assess some current productivity habits that can help uncover ways to strengthen them. So again, I just want to review for you these essential key habits. Is number one, you want to be gathering all your stressors, creative ideas, things on piece of paper, voicemail, email, notifications, and you want to then put them into a structured system. For example, one of the things I use is Trello. I use it for all my clients of where they're at. They are in programs and their coaching notes that I work on is all mostly in Trello. And then number three, reflect. You want to really reflect on what you've gathered, what your structure is, and then you can step into that action. So next up, I want to help you assess your current productivity. And I'm actually going to put a little worksheet in the link on in this episode on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'll also put it up on my upcoming website on how to assess your current productivity. So come on back with a pencil and piece of paper, and you can actually take some notes on this and get ready for that worksheet. And let's figure out what your current productivity habits are and how you could improve those. So stay tuned. I look forward for you coming back to Life in Full Expression with Beth.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
I'm Mark Fechner, and at the Business Mind Show, we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Welcome back to your productivity mastery. I'll get that word out. And the last part of this episode, I'm going to be helping us look at how to assess our current productivity. And let's think about your current productivity habits and consider how they compare to these four key habits and identify which areas you actually can work on to boost the productivity. So, number one question I've always talked about as I end each one of these episodes, that if you ask high calibrating questions, you put yourself in a position to receive high calibrating answers and solutions. So question number one, how basically are you gathering everything effectively? Now, if I ask myself that, my answer would be no, I'm not gathering everything effectively. And yet, this really isn't an easy question to answer because there always seems like there's always more that you could do, right? As I talked about earlier in this episode, that there is so much that can come at us in this day and age compared to 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. If you're still alive back then, you know, I mean, you were born that early. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you're continuously feeling like you're operating with incomplete information or that you're missing something, that could be a good sign that this area needs some work. So You need to consider if you've truly identified every action that's worth doing and have an effective model of gathering your information. So that's number one. Do you have an effective way to gather your information? So to begin and consider all the different inbound sources of information you deal with on a daily basis and actually make a list. So right now, pull out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil or just pull up the notes in your phone maybe and take some notes on, make a list of all of them. So here's some examples of how sources of information could come into you. Emails, voicemails, text messages, phone apps, social media accounts, meeting notes, paperwork, etc., etc., etc. So just making a list of that. Now look at your list and see if there's any way you could consolidate or possibly eliminate some of them. Are they all absolutely necessary? And if some of them aren't, ask yourself, could I eliminate them? What would it look like for me to consolidate them? Are there tools that could help you do this? And a way you can combine some of these into one? So really attempt to reduce your list to fewer than 10 if you can. And this will be your final list, okay? So now the next phase is to uncover which actions are worth spending your time on. Here's an exercise that can help you determine this, all right? Find an end tray, like a large box enough that you can put pieces of paper in. And also get a pen and some scrap paper or a notepad. Now this could be foreign to some people that really live in the digital age. If you have another way to do it, do it that way. But this is one way. Now take a strip of paper and write down something that's been on your mind because it isn't getting done. So something that's been on your mind for several days, weeks, maybe even months, and add it into the tray. And then basically repeat step two until you have cleared your mind of things that need to be done. Have you guys done this exercise before? We're basically doing a mind dump where we're just dumping everything into this tray. Now walk around your house or your apartment or office and see if you can find other things that need to be done. And these can include receipts, books to return, clothing to return, or post-it notes, expense reports, permission slips for your kids' field trip, and add all of that into your tray. Maybe you're going to school part-time and you've got some assignments hanging over you. You know, right now it's the end, you know, we're looking at the mid part of December, start of December. So I teach a college class, and so my students are all in their final projects. So if you're a student, you're putting all those to-dos into this box. And really, you want to complete this exercise in an effective way to know all the tasks you need to do so you can find a way to actually organize them. It's interesting how I'll talk with, this is one of the things that I help my coaching clients with quite a bit is organization, to put things in buckets of organization so that we're going back to them each week and making sure that they get done. It's really extraordinary how we can get done when we organize things into buckets of gathering information. So really, are you using an organized system to structure your data and tasks? Do you have a checklist? It's really important that we have that. And so I just put down some things here. One of the most effective ways to do this is to implement a system of lists. And I'm going to go back to, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, that there's a project list, there's a master action list, and then you would have a daily to-do list. And I would actually add one more list in there of something that I do a regular basis with pretty much all my clients is a to-be list. And what is that? It is really the state of beingness that you desire to be that day. And it helps you really just come from a groundedness of the person that you desire to be. You know, a to-be list may be to be kind, to be loving, to be generous, to be fun. That could be the to-be list. And going back to some tools that I've come aware of so far is Asana. I've mentioned Trello. I just recently learned about Coda from my branding and website designer. That's another one. And then I've learned from some clients of mine, another one called TaskAide. So you can Google and find some systems that really serve you. But remember this, that your project list is the highest level of list that helps you keep track of every project you're working on. And your master action list contains every action you could do right now for each of your current projects. A great question that I love to present with myself as well as my clients is, what can I do from where I'm at with what I have that comes from the project completed, as if it's already completed, coming from the end in mind? Is great to ask yourself, what can I do from where I'm at with what I have? So often our mind will reason and go, oh, man, I can't do that, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, you know, and you start looking at all the boundaries and constraints that are basically kinking your hose rather than asking a very high calibrating question of, well, what could I do with what I have today that would take me one step closer to the completion of this task? So, and then the daily to-do lists help you identify and keep track of the actions you can take in a single given day. So checklists really are another important tool that can help you stay on track, though they're often underrated. Ooh, they are. I see this a lot in my college students of, you know, are you putting it into a calendar? Do you have it organized? And a lot of times their answers will be, no, I'm not doing that. So it is really recommended for you to use daily and weekly checklists, and which contain lists of different behaviors also that you employ to basically assess your progress and making you basically a current batch of tasks. And if you really don't currently have a checklist, I really highly recommend that you implement them to boost your productivity. So when the time comes to take action, you do work efficiently and make good progress, do you? Are you making good progress when you make those lists? Do you find that you typically fall into a smooth rhythm and momentum when performing the tasks? Or do you consistently struggle to get things done in an efficient and timely manner? And if you are, again, look at how you are gathering your data and what system you're putting it in. And if you are still struggling to take action after implementing these systems, there are some other considerations. So ask yourself this, are there too many distractions around you? Again, what might help you to eliminate those distractions? Don't play a victim mindset and go, oh, they're everywhere. There's nothing I can do about them. Ask a different question. And are you making the most of your times of proactive and active attention? And have you really been held hostage by that perfectionism? And do you try to take on too many tasks at once? Sometimes those last two creep into my life, definitely. So if you've answered yes to any of these questions, chances are these are issues and you'll need to tackle and achieve some maximum productivity. And remember, this is an art to be created and developed. It's not going to happen overnight. So I invite you to check out the worksheet that I'm going to put up for you. And I also have an online course that you can find at bethwolf.com on creating your productivity mastery. So thanks for joining me on Life in Full Expression. I love giving you guys tips. Have a great day, and I'll see you next Monday, 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on transformationtalkradio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit BethWolf.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.